Pasyantyado pamada Of the Lord from persons of actually seeing him with perfect eyes, smeared with devotional service. In the material world also, we do not always see things with our own eyes. We sometimes see through the experience of those who have actually seen or done things. If that is the process for experiencing a mundane object, it is more perfectly applicable in matters transcendental. So only with patience and perseverance can we realize the transcendental subject matter regarding the Absolute Truth and his different forms. He is formless to the neophyte, but he is in transcendental form to the expert servitor. So the verse again. Pashyantyado rupam adavra chakshusha sahasrapadoru bhujanananda bhutam sahasramurda shavanakshi nasikam sahasramalyambara kundalosat. The devotees with their perfect eyes can see the transcendental form of the Purusha, but its thousands of legs, arms, thighs, arms and face is all extraordinary. In that body there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and are adorned with garlands. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Vraya Srimate Bhakti Vranta Swamite Namane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Prajarnam Nirvishesha Srinivani Paskatyala Here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Janma karma tame divyam, evam yo veti tatvataha, tyatvadeham punarjanma, naikimam eti sorajana. That one who can understand the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take birth again, but attains my transcendental abode. And the Purport Prabhupada mentions about understanding the unlimited expansions of Krishna. To understand how Krishna can expand himself into so many different forms and yet still remain the same person. So that's part of the process of actually understanding Krishna in truth. Theoretically, we can understand these things. But here it says, those who are actually in love with Krishna, they see these things directly. Premanjana, Trija, Bhaktilo, Chanina, Santaksidaya, Vridaya, Shivalokayandhi, Yam Shaima Sundaram Achintya Guna Svarubam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. That when one's eyes are smeared with the salve of love, Anjana, then one is able to see Shaima Sundar. And if one can see Shaima Sundar, then it's qualified to see all the other expansions also. Bhakti Mam Abhijanandi Yavanyas-chasmi-tattva-taha-tato-mam-tattva-to-gyatva-vishite-tad-anandaram. One can understand me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead only through the process of pure devotional service. And when one is situated at such a level of consciousness, one can enter into the mystery of my understanding. So how Krishna can expand himself in everyone's heart and give everyone remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness and not become completely confused. If we had to expand ourselves into a couple of people's hearts, we'd forget exactly who I told what to yesterday. It'd be very confusing for us. What to speak of 100 or 1 million or 1 trillion or 1 quadrillion or an unlimited number of hearts and keep track of everyone's history. What to speak of the history. To know everyone's just name would be quite an extraordinary feat. And not feel inconvenienced by it. It's not that Krishna, he can't sleep at night because there's so many names to remember. And he can't remember, you know, fit the name with the face and it's hard. And what did I tell this person yesterday? Which I can't. No, for Krishna there's no inconvenience. So this is inconceivable to us. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Sarvata Pani Padam Tat, Sarvata Shishra Mukam, Sarvata Shudimaloke, Sarvata Vritti Tishati. Everywhere his hands, his legs, his eyes and faces, and he hears everything, In this way, the Super Soul exists, pervading everything. So, where are all those hands and legs? In one sense, the Paramatma, he has his hands and legs, and they're everywhere. On the other hand, even what we consider to be our hands and legs, factually are not really our hands and legs. We're simply the renter. Krishna is the actual landholder, the landlord. We're simply renting the building. And he determines how much it costs for the rent, whether we can pay for the rent or not. And he gives us the appropriate body according to the rent we can pay. And when our rent, when we can't pay the rent anymore, then he kicks us out. All these bodies, heads, eyes, faces, everything, they actually belong to Krishna. Falsely, we're considering there are hands, legs, and eyes. Just like during the Rasa dance, all the gopis, they left, seemingly left their husbands and joined Krishna to dance in the Rasa dance with Krishna. So therefore people think that Krishna is immoral, calling other people's wives. Well, our acharyas tell us two things. One is that actually the bodies of the gopis, they remained with their husbands, because it was actually the spiritual bodies of the gopis who went to dance with Krishna in the Rasa dance. But even we consider that it was the material bodies, but actually the real owner of everyone, the real husband of everyone is Krishna. So it's not that Krishna was immoral, calling for these ladies to come and dance with him, because he's actually the husband of all living entities. It's actually their husbands which were immoral, thinking that they were the proprietors of their wives, but actually stealing from Krishna. So of course these points will not be recognized or appreciated by those who are not devotees, because the very material existence is an attempt to steal from Krishna, or at least to forget that Krishna is the actual proprietor, and to invent a dreamlike existence where we imagine ourselves to be proprietors. Just like in the present circumstances, when very few people can live a very enjoyable life, they try to live them through the movies or through some kind of entertainment. Physically speaking, people are very debilitated, but they think if I root for a certain football team, a certain tennis player, if they win, that's my victory. Somehow or another, I share in the victory. Or they think, my life is not very enjoyable, I'm very limited, I simply follow a routine every day, and nothing is really progressing. But if I imagine myself some cosmic hero in a movie, then actually I can get the enjoyment I'm looking for in this lifetime, simply through imagination. But that's all right, because the whole material existence is based more or less on imagination anyhow. So you imagine yourself to be this body, or imagine yourself to be a spider, a heroic spider, it makes really no difference, because both of them are just imagination. Of course, in this body, we can do practical activities, because if you spend your whole life, as some people, for instance, in South Korea, they become so much absorbed in these online games, where you construct cities, or I don't know what you do, I've never seen them, but you do some kind of intense activity. Maybe you conquer some enemy, multi-phased enemy, and all different levels of playing. And some people, they've stayed on the online game for so many days that they dehydrated and died, because they neglected eating and sleeping, and they just became dehydrated and passed out and died. So, imagination can sometimes be dangerous. You become so much absorbed in imagination that you even forget that you have a gross material body that demands certain necessities of life. But generally people are not so much concerned with their external world, because their external world is quite limited. Therefore, they've invented all these diversions. As Prabhupada said, the people in India, they're complaining, there's not enough food, we're starving. They go to the minister with their complaint, and the minister said, don't worry, next week there'll be another channel on television. So this is a way of diverting people from the actual reality, and what to speak of the purpose of life. In any case, the point is that Krishna is everywhere. You can't escape Krishna, as one cannot escape the laws of material nature or the time factor. The fact is that everything is under Krishna's control. And that control of Krishna is not possible to be changed. And therefore, although we cannot change necessarily other people's activities and desires, but we do have some influence on our own desires and activities. We have our sphere of influence and we have our sphere of concerns. We can't become the super soul and by our potency change the lives of everyone else, because even the super soul is not doing it. On the other hand, we can change our own life if we take shelter of Krishna. Krishna can change our life if we take shelter of him. The problem is that people don't take shelter of him, and therefore they're simply forced to act according to their previous activities. Although their activities are quite limited to simply gratifying the senses over and over again, by the influence of Maya, they think that this lifetime, or part of this lifetime, is a unique opportunity to get some kind of a unique kind of sense gratification that's never been experienced since time immemorial. That this time, I'm going to become a hero, and when I become a hero, I'm never going to die. If I physically die, at least my name and fame will live on perpetually. Of course, maybe for some personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam, this may be possible. But we don't even know, the mundane heroes are come and gone, and no one takes them very seriously. If we hear about some great pharaoh in the Egyptian Empire, and he had so many lands he conquered, we care less for him. We can't even pronounce his name. What do people take him seriously? Only to make some money by writing a book about these personalities or a movie, that's the only use they have. But where is that person? Prabhupada would say, Napoleon, he conquered so many lands, and they made a statue of France in Napoleon, and the pigeons come every day and they make their offering on the top of Napoleon's statue. And once a year, he said, they go and they clean off the offerings of the pigeons, and they have some ceremony honoring Napoleon. But the question is, where is Napoleon now? He could, for all we know, be one of the pigeons. So they're glorifying Napoleon for all his wonderful activities, but no one knows really where Napoleon is now. And what were actually his wonderful activities? He established for some maybe a better opportunity for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And for others, he created difficulty in their eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So for some, he was a great hero, and for others, he was a villain, all based upon whether they could eat better or sleep better or mate better or defend themselves better. But there's nothing that was really that much important about his life. He came, he went, his name has come, his name will go in the course of time, and it is much ado about nothing. The Himalayas are shaking. Everyone's wondering, what will the Himalayas give birth to? Everyone crowds around to see the offspring of the Himalayas, And then after much rumbling, one little mouse runs out. So the whole society is filled with all kinds of news and anxiety over the future. But the future is old age, disease, and death for everyone. If the terrorists don't get us, old age will get us. But we have to die anyhow. And to take, die means to take, simply take another birth. No one goes to sleep at night thinking, oh, I'm going to die, because I'm going to forget my present body. I should just stay awake all night, because otherwise I'll lose my body. No, we go to sleep and then we happily dream we have another body. And then we wake up and we find ourselves seemingly in the same body, but it's simply another dream-like state. So we have our night dreams and we have our daydreams. The only difference is our night dreams generally last a little less time than our daydream. But after all, this daydream, relatively speaking, to eternal time has no significance either. Compared to eternity, 100 years has no significance. Maybe one moment has no significance compared to 100 years, but compared to eternity, neither 100 years nor a moment have any significance. Therefore, our so-called dream in this lifetime of making progress in conquering the material energy, even so little as we might imagine, is only just a dream, because at the end, we all go somewhere else. Children may build a sandcastle on the shore with great endeavor and great pride, but in the course of time, the parents will come and take them away, and the ocean will come and take the sandcastle away. And the only thing they've gotten is actually just their effort to build the sandcastle, but nothing has really been accomplished. So similarly, the only thing we really have to accomplish here is to get out of illusion. All these hands, legs, arms, and faces of Krishna, they'll go on eternally trying to, under Krishna's direction, by his will, give the living entities an opportunity to think themselves to be the laws of material nature, and giving them a so-called opportunity to enjoy the external energy, until the living entity wakes up and realizes, neither I'm controlling material nature, nor am I being conscious of its bodily and mental activities of whatever body I'm situated in. Is any real enjoyment? There's a lot of suffering, but there's no real enjoyment. And then they may question, where is the actual reservoir of water that we're looking for? It's certainly not in the desert of material existence. And by some good fortune, one may conclude that only by focusing my attention on Krishna and giving my love to him can I actually obtain the actual desires that I'm looking for. Otherwise, we'll just simply be wasting our time. So, I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes. Okay.
I want to ask you, how is it possible for a yogi who is meditating for a long time to keep the body in a good condition? If you said that these people who are not eating and sleeping are losing their lives.
Well, they're certainly not. Their consciousness is not certainly transcendental. It's actually Krishna that maintains the body, the spiritual energy, which is maintaining the body. So one who comes in contact with Krishna, as mentioned in the 11th canto, all mystic powers are really different degrees of concentration on Krishna. So one who's actually concentrating on Krishna and becomes a transparent via media for Krishna, then this material body is just maintained by the transcendental energy, which is the source of all energy anyhow. It is not the food that we eat that gives us the energy, it's the energy in the food. And ultimately that energy is a transformation of Krishna's Brahman energy, which is just a fraction of the spiritual energy. So when it was actually in contact with Krishna, then he's being maintained by Krishna himself directly. Anything else? Do you have any other
questions?
Don't accept or give them Krishna's association by becoming Krishna conscious. It's just that we think, don't accept their ideas. Their ideas is that I'm God, I'm the enjoyer. And then we think, well, no, you're not God, I'm God, I'm the enjoyer. So don't compete with them to become God and the enjoyer. Try to become the servant of Krishna. And then Nawab came to visit Sanatana Goswami after hearing that Sanatana actually was not sick, that he had only sent messages to the Nawab that he was sick, and that actually he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from some Brahmins. And then Nawab came and accused Sanatana Goswami of misleading him. Sanatana Goswami offered all respect to Nawab. He didn't say, "You rascal, you're a Maya, you don't know who I am. Get out of here, I'll get contaminated by your association." He offered him all respect because he was a king, and therefore Sanatana Goswami saw the Nawab in relation to Krishna. Although undoubtedly he was not a transcendental personality, not really a very good king, but still, because Krishna had given him that position as king, therefore Sanatana Goswami offered him some respect. So we can offer people respect, but we shouldn't become fooled into accepting their vision of life. Yes.
How we can deal with fear when we experience in our life?
Chant Hare Krishna. Krishna is feared by fear personified, which says the holy name in the first chapter. Living beings are entangled in the complicated meshes. A birth and death can be freed immediately even by unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, who is feared by fear personified. So if we chant Hare Krishna, even fear personified will go away. But we have to chant defenselessly. We have to have some faith. If we become Krishna conscious, then there's nothing to fear. We realize we're not this body, then we're indestructible. The only thing to be feared is that our consciousness gets cloudy and we think ourselves to be this body, and therefore we get absorbed in fear due to ignorance. So Prahlad Maharaj said, actually there's no enemy in this world except for the uncontrolled mind. So one who's controlled his mind, there is nothing to be feared. And to one who's not controlled his mind, he'll fear everything. Yes?
When we read Krishna's pastimes and we absorb ourselves in them, sometimes a trap may appear to somehow imitate Krishna. How can we avoid this trap? Because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he has different standards than we.
How are you going to imitate it? In what way? Obviously, you can't lift Govardhan Hill. Nor can you dance with all the gopis. What can you do to imitate it? What do you mean by imitating?
I mean, that trap can appear sometimes when one is very absorbed in something,
Well, if we're that absorbed in Krishna, Krishna will give us the intelligence so that we know what to do. But that warning is there that obviously sometimes in India or in other places in the West we have a growing groups of so-called spiritualists, in India at least, as in that Yogi Mahavishnu, so-called Mahavishnu Yogi, who Bhaktivinoda Thakura confronted and some other Vibhika Shane, who Bhaktivinoda Thakura confronted Vibhika Shane, had called the wives, the young girls, and the daughters of the people in the village around. He said he was Mahavishnu, and he came to exhibit the Rasa dance, and all these women should come and dance with him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura arrested him for doing that. Of course, nowadays, if someone did that, no one would object. But you'd have to have enough money to attract everyone. People don't have mystic powers anymore, they only have money. So we should understand, obviously, we're not God, and therefore there are certain instructions that are applicable to Krishna, and that Krishna shows an example that he's God, and there's certain things that we're supposed to do. How to live as an exemplary household, Krishna showed, but that doesn't mean that we should try to get 16,108 husbands or wives. We can try to have one, it's hard enough to maintain one household, but to speak of 16,108. So we should try to pay the rent on one Chintamani Palace and see where we can go from there. Anything else? Yes.
Ceea ce dacă începem să fim afectați de o frică, chiar obsesie, că nu vom reuși și că poate am făcut prea multe ofense și că rog acesta Krishna nu ne va da vila lui, nu ne va da
inspirație. We are advised to follow the process with determination, but somehow we may become obsessed by some fear that we will not succeed and that we've made too many offenses and Krishna will not give us his mercy as an example. So we attempted to not follow.
Well, that's another phase of illusion.
It's all the false illusions.
Generally we fall into illusion because we don't want to attain the goal. So Krishna says these doubts which have risen your heart out of ignorance should be slashed with a weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. So Krishna can take back Ajamya, just by chanting the name of Narayan. If we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is likely to help us also. You won't think, oh, he's constantly chanting, I'm not impressed. No, we can't. Gopati called out Krishna's name once, purely. And Krishna says, I'm constantly remembering Gopati calling out my name once, Hey Govinda. And in that remembrance, I'm becoming ever more indebted to her. So we should try to call out Krishna's name sincerely, and then Krishna will reciprocate. These doubts are just, our attachment to these doubts are just another form of our material illusion. We think Krishna is some very limited personality with some very limited mentality like we have. If someone insults us, we remember a few years. So we think, oh, Krishna's been insulted. I'll never forgive him. We put Krishna on our platform. As if Krishna's spending his whole existence worrying about our insult. He stopped functioning in the hearts of all living entities. meditating on our insult. Krishna is not bothered by all this. So Krishna is simply want, if something is positive there, then that's what he recognizes. So we should try for something positive, and then we'll get Krishna's mercy. Rather than worrying about all the negative. So it was nice being here. So, as the Sukhapuru myself will go to Serbia, part of our extended tour this year. Serbia, then Croatia, then Slovenia, is that right? Slovenia, and then where we go from Slovenia?
Back to Serbia.
Serbia again for the summer camp. And then from Serbia we go to
Bulgaria.
Bulgaria. And then Bulgaria go to Macedonia. Macedonia back to Serbia. Serbia back then to Bosnia. Bosnia to Lika summer camp in Croatia. And then from there we go to the Padiatra. No, the summer camp
summer
in Slovenia.
Camp.
So if you ever get bored, you can join our tour. You wake up and can't remember which country you're in. But it was nice being here, so we look forward to coming again. Thank you for your association.
We are very grateful for being here. Yeah, thank you very much for coming, both of you, and we invite you next year to come again.
Thank you. Nice to see everything's very steady here. Gorni Tire always dancing. So thank you.
Thank you.